Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
Be on your feet.
Hallelujah.
This morning we want to continue with our series, Stewardship. Amen. And we want to bring some finality to some of the things we started talking about from last week. Amen. Key scripture, as we did last week, is taken from Malachi chapter 3, verse 7 through to 12. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 7. Shout a big amen. Amen. Stewardship is how we obtain money, how we save money, and how we invest money, how we spend money, and how we give money. Stewardship primarily is about your relationship with money. God is interested in our stewardship, what we do with money. God does not need our money. God is God, and He owns everything. God is God, and He owns everything. The cattle of a thousand hills belongs to Him. If He was hungry, He wouldn't have asked you of anything to God. But it's important for us to understand that He is not interested in what we have, but He is interested in what we are or who we are. And it makes the world of difference that God is not interested in what we have, but He is interested in who we are. People will become your friend based on what you have. People will connect to you based on certain advantages that they will get on you. Basically, what you have or possess. But thank God that His interest in our lives is not based on what we have. After all, what do we have that He did not give? But His interest in our lives is to become a better person. And that is the foundation for our understanding when we want to really deal with the subject of stewardship. Because in most cases, when we begin to talk about stewardship, the church wants our money. The church wants to take from us. The church wants to have a harvest. They want money. That's why they are talking about it. But God is not interested in what you have. He's interested in who you are. Can you tell somebody seated by you, God is not interested in what you have, but who you are. God wants us, and He wants us to be blessed. God wants to bless us. He wants you as a person, and He wants you to be blessed. God wants to give to you. We know Him as a giver. And not just a giver, a great giver. God started giving right from the days of Eden, and He's still giving till now. He gave His precious gift, His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die such a shameful death. Not even for people who are good or people who are kind, but for armed robbers and for cheaters and for people who actually don't qualify to even receive anything good. That is the kind of people God sent His Son to come and die for. And for that reason, God is a great giver. And He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be like Him. Praise God. God is interested in how we acquire and use our money. And one of the greatest tests of our spirituality is how much we love God, in how much we love God, sorry, and how much we believe in God is our stewardship. Your greatest test in how much you love God, how much you believe in God, and how much you trust Him will be tested with your stewardship. In other words, it will be tested in your relationship with money. And this actually, it amuses me, and it makes me begin to think louder, because we know that if a man loves God, then there are certain things that has to be demonstrated. If a man loves God, then he must shun sin and stop certain things. If a man loves God, he must commit fully to God. But I really didn't know much about this, that if a man loves God, the test of your love for God will be shown in your relationship with money. That means that God will test you how much you love Him based on how you relate with money. And that is so important, and that is so good. We've realized that we are living in economic hardship, economic turmoil. We are living in economic meltdown. And this is not, how do I put it? This is normal, and because it was supposed to be so. This is not something new. I mean, Ghana has been poor ever since, and we are still poor, and will forever be poor. I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom, but until we find great leadership who can bring great transformation, and until we are connected with Jesus, no government will be able to make things better. Am I speaking to somebody here? So stop putting your trust in the government. In fact, that is not where your source will come from. You are a citizen of God. Your resources are from God. And He will be the one to take care of you. Am I talking to somebody here? So it is important for us to understand that we are in a great economic difficulty, and we see so many poverty here and there. Especially people in church are poor. People in church are poor. I mean, we are so much, poor to the extent that we are not able to pay our common bills. We are not able to take charge of our daily expenditures. We don't have enough to keep, nor enough to share, nor enough to bless people. We borrow from savings to pay current bills, and we actually borrow in order to service loans, and we are not able to make ends meet, and there's always fight and quarrel at home between husband and wife, all because there's no money. In fact, anytime you see couples fighting, don't ask them why, because most cases, about 99 of them will be lack of oil. Women don't like hardship. Amen. Yeah. And they begin to feel uncomfortable when things are not right. When they don't have money, in fact, they begin to feel uncomfortable. And they'll fight you. There are some instinct within them that will naturally go get money. Tell somebody, go get money. So it is, okay, but it's not every woman anyway. Praise God. You know, some women have come to, accept it. Charlie, Adena, Sanity, so let's maintain it. Praise God. But naturally, we see many people, especially church folks, who are so poor. A typical example is people that we envy, and people that we think they are living a luxurious life. For example, you see somebody driving the most latest car, and then you could see living in a very beautiful home and all that. Hey, when you trace to the source of their wealth, you realize that it's all about loan. They take a loan in order to buy a car or a house, so all their life they are living in servicing loans. Are you with me? And then they use credit card to buy fuel. You understand? So even the fuel they are running on is also under certain load. And they will live and die and leave behind them a pile of debt. That will not be your portion. So we've been looking at the fact that Jesus said that I came that you will have life and have it in abundance. In other words, it is the will of God for us to become financially bondage free. For us to be financially free from all kinds of things. So God is interested in our finances because he doesn't want us to be in financial bondage. The devil is also interested in our finances because he wants us to be in financial bondage all of our life. And our financial bondage or our financial freedom is predicated on our relationship with money. How we are able to relate with money depends on our liberty or our bondage. Praise God. And fast forward then, we've been looking at Malachi chapter number 3, the 7 to 9, to help us explain God's way of making us financially free from any bondage. Amen. And we spoke about it somewhere last week. And it's so important that there are some areas and some points I want to reemphasize. For the sake of those who are hearing it for the first time, and for those whose mind have been disabused based on their concept of tithing. I started by saying that God actually wants you, not your money. He's interested in who you become than what you have. Now, the idea of tithe, which is one of the ways and the basis upon which the believer is blessed, has actually been indoctrinated or has actually been abused by all kinds of misunderstanding. For example, whenever we talk about tithe, now you can't stand on any social media platform and talk about tithe. Even Christians will rise up against you. Some will begin to say all kinds of things that, is tithe still relevant? Do we still have to pay tithe in our tithe? Who is to collect the tithe? And my scripture and my understanding this morning, which is also the true word of the Lord, is for us to be able to know what God says about tithe. So when we talk about tithe, it is not about to get your money every month. Are you with me? Now he says that even from the days of our fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinance. In other words, you have gone away. When you say you have gone away, it means you have left him. You have left him. Amen. You have left his laws. You have left his ordinances. You have left the things that he has asked you to do. And it's not that you stopped doing them. You have left him. You have left him. Now he's saying this. So the beginning of tithe is not about God saying, bring me money. Bring me your produce. Bring me one-tenth of what you have. He didn't start by saying that. But he says that, return unto me. Return to me. And I will also return to you. These were the days that the people themselves were complaining. These were the days that the people themselves were suffering. They were in economic hardship. They were in economic meltdown. The days had come where that no matter their effort, no matter what they are putting in into life, no matter how much they are trying to make it, they were still not meeting up. These were the days where they would even, toil for the whole year, but nothing comes into their hands. They would put seeds or money into their pockets, and their pockets are actually mentored with holes, and everything will come out. These were the days that they will even eat and they will never be satisfied. These were the days that they would drink, but they would never be drunk. So actually, the people themselves were complaining. Are you with me? This morning, if you are complaining in any area of your life, there is a solution for you. The reason why things are not working in your life could be your disconnection with God. So he says, return to me.
So it is not about your money in the first place, but it's about who you become, who you are. Come to me and I will come to you, says the Lord. But he said, wherein shall we return? Which means that the people were playing adamant. They were indifferent. As a matter of fact, they could go through some things but not know why things were not going well for them. But the secret of every success is to make it back to Jesus. I pray that this morning the Lord will remind us of our fellowship with him. God wants your fellowship. He wants your fellowship. Tell somebody he wants your fellowship. The gift without the giver is an abuse. It's bare. The gift without the giver is an abuse or bare. What we do not joyfully, lovingly, freely give, God never needs it and God never wants it. Praise Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest signs that we have returned to God is in our finances. This is so important. When somebody comes to God, when somebody says, I'm a child of God, when somebody says that I belong to God, God is my father. One of the things that proves it is your relationship with money. Is somebody here with me? Can I talk to somebody this morning? And many people are in financial bondage and are away from God because they have tried to put things first and God second. Anytime you put things first and places God second, you have missed the point. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be what? Added unto you. Praise God. Without trying to go much into detail, the next thing that we also need based on the scripture to come out of financial bondage is that there is a financial release for you. So the first one is for us to return to God. The second one is a financial release. Financial freedom actually begins with your tithing. Financial freedom begins with your tithing. And the tithe, as it is a definite proportion. Tithe literally means tenth. 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 Some say that, well, tithe is legalistic and that it puts us under the Old Testament. And why should we continue to be paying tithe? But I'm here to reiterate and make you understand that tithe began long before the Old Testament. Tithe began before the Mosaic law. The Bible talks about a man called Melchizedek. He is a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that after Abraham had gone to war and has won many battles and has conquered many enemies and has got many spoil, this man called Melchizedek, who does not have beginning nor end, saw the victory and how weary and how tired Abraham and his men has been. And therefore you can imagine, this man called Melchizedek met Abraham on the way and fed him with wine and with bread. I believe it was not Abraham alone that ate the wine and the bread, but then his men also. Praise God. So having looked at the gesture, how this man has met him to nourish him and to also bless him, then Abraham said, well, I will not let you go. When I went for war, it was not by my strength. When I went for war, it was not by my own abilities or energy or wisdom. I believe in the strength that you gave me was the strength that actually strengthened me to actually do and win the battle. Therefore, for whatever I got, I'm giving you 10% of it. Praise God. And this is the principle behind tithing. The first principle is the fact that when God helps you throughout the month, when God gives you the grace throughout the month to wake up every morning and not having weakness in your body, you are able to move up and down. You are able to carry yourself and go to work, and he makes you to flourish in your work. He brings you back home every day in 30 days and one, and he helps you along your way without any form of sickness nor pain. He says that at the end of the day, you are like Abraham who went for war and has won. And now he expects you to also give back to him. Is somebody here with me? So tithe is not about your money that you give. But we said tithe is to return God's money to him. So here we call it God's portion. The Lord's portion. Praise God. So there is no competition between Titan and the New Testament. Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued. Moses commanded it. And Jesus also commended it. Praise God. And there was one profound understanding that we are having. That for those who say that tithe is of the Old Testament, it is of the Old Testament law. So whenever we pay tithe, we are coming back under the law. There's only one question for them. Praise God. In the law, we also had other laws. Praise the Lord. Like, thou shalt not kill. Is that not so? Like, do not commit adultery. Is that not so? All these things were part of the law. And then including tithing. Now you are saying that tithing is of the Old Testament. Are you with me? So we are also in the New Testament, so we are not supposed to what? Tithe. But in the Old Testament, they said, thou shalt not kill. So in this New Testament, should we kill? Because in the Old Testament, thou shalt not kill was also in the Old Testament. Are we thinking right? Are we thinking right? So, see, whatever will bring your relationship and your fellowship with God to the extent that the blessings of God will flow through you, the devil will try to stop it. Are you here with me? And those with, excuse me to say, myopic understanding will say, hey, it's true. It's an Old Testament thing. It was the law. When Moses said, Moses said, thou shalt not kill the Old Testament. This time go and kill, and you find where you be. Are you here with me? So it is not about the Old Testament or the New Testament. Tithe is a principle of our relationship with God. And I pray that God gives us the greater understanding. Your amen is weak. Now I want us to finalize it. I mean, all this I said it before. I want us to come to the last part. He says that there will always be a spiritual renewal whenever we are committed to God. In other words, if we want to be free financially, God renews us spiritually. Anytime we are committed to God, based on our relationship with him, our spirituality is renewed. How do I know this? Now move, let us move from verse number 10 and 12. Verse number 10 and 12. Let's quickly conclude this. He said that bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you. Underline it if the Bible is yours. Say, open you. You see, there are times that, I mean, the language has been transmogrified, let me put it that way, or has been changed over the centuries, you understand. And for that matter, there were certain construction that we don't normally use today. It has changed, but then there are also certain grammatic formation in the Bible that are still there for its understanding. And the best way you can really understand this is when you go to the root of it. Praise God. And when you look at the the Septuagint, which was the Greek part of the Greek version of the Old Testament, what happens is that the rendition that says that you say that if I will not open you has an expression. He didn't say that I will not open the heavens. So our first expression is that the heavens must open, or the windows of heaven must open for us. But that is not the understanding of the scripture. I want you to come home with me. He said, I will open you. So God actually is opening you to the blessing. In other words, the blessing is already there. The blessing is like a dam. Recently, many of you heard of Akosomo Dam, and when it was opened, and when the dam was opened, it spilled over, and the whole community around the Akosomo Dam actually got flooded. Why? The dam had actually kept the waters. It has kept the waters from overflowing. There's something that has kept the blessing from flowing. And God says that in your obedience with me, in your connection with me, when you return to me, what I do is that I, the Lord, will open you. Which means that the flow of the blessing is not that which is coming from somewhere. The flow of the blessing is that which is coming from you. Now, God's purpose in your life is to make you the channel of blessing, not a dam of blessing. Most of us wants to become dam. We want to become a lake. We want to become a stagnant water. But God, in his wisdom, doesn't want us to become stagnant waters, because the stagnant water will stink. The stagnant water will kill any living thing that actually comes in. The stagnant water will become dirty. But God says that I came that you will have life and have it all over you. Have it overflow. There is a blessing that has been blocked. There's a blessing that has been done. But God says, in your relationship and fellowship with me, when you have returned to me and returned with your money, I, the Lord, will open you. Oh, come on, I wish I have the right people. There is an opening that must come through you. There's a blessing that must come through you and you alone. He said, I will open you. I will open you. So it is possible that most of us, we have been constipated with all kinds of things. The channel within us has been constipated. In other words, it's blocked. Are you with me? Whereby the blessing cannot flow. God's blessing doesn't flow from things to us. It flows from us to things. That is why when you are blessed, whatsoever you touch shall be blessed. When you are blessed, when you enter into that office, it is blessed. Your environment is blessed because of you. It is not your environment that influences you, but you influences your environment. Thank God for the word influence. Is somebody here with me? So let me tell you, if you are not seeing the blessing, if you are not seeing things happening, it means somewhere, somehow, there is a block. You have been damned. Amen. He said, if I will not open you, you will be opened to the windows of heaven. The windows of heaven are already open. But where does it go? It must pass through you. But remember, when the channel or the pipe is blocked, where does it flow to? I pray from today that you become a channel of blessing. Oh my God. You become the conduit through which his blessings flow. Is somebody here with me? So tithe should remind us of the flow of the blessing. The continuous supply. The flow. He said, I will open you the windows of heaven. And pour. Again, everybody. And pour. No. Continue with him. And pour. You. And pour. And pour. So it's confirming the expression that the first one was not a grammatical error, because he's repeating it again. So he said that I will open you the windows of heaven. So your life will be open to the windows of heaven. And when your life is open to the windows of heaven, he said that I will pour you out. So it is not money that is being poured out, but who you are, what God has made you. Listen, you are more than money. You are too blessed to be stressed. You are too blessed than money. You are too blessed than the riches of the world. He said, what will a man exchange for his soul if he should gain the whole world and loses his soul? He's like nothing. I pray that the blessings will pour you out. So we are talking more than the blessing. And that quickly jumps me. I'm not concluding, but then it takes me to the conclusion part of my message, whereby we don't pay tithe to be rich. Come on, push it right there. We don't pay tithe to be rich. Pastor, what are you saying? You say, I say I should pay tithe so that I'll have money. No, a tithe is not a jackpot. It is not my bet. You don't pay tithe to be rich. You pay tithe for the flow of the blessing. For the flow of the blessing. Whenever you pay tithe, God, who is holy, the Bible says that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. The tithe is holy. Anything that is holy is of God, because he is most holy. He is most holy. So once you take the one tenth, what it means is that the one tenth is holy unto God. And once you make the one tenth holy to God, he also make the lump sum holy. In other words, when you give one tenth of all your earnings to God, God becomes part of the lump sum. He becomes part of the 9 or the 90. Are you with me? God becomes part of the 90. And when God becomes part of the 90, you are able to do much with the 90 than you would have done with the 100. Is somebody here with me? When God, who is holy, becomes part of the 90, you will be able to do well, so much more, greater things with the 90 than you would have been able to do with the 100. Is there anybody here whose income is not enough? You are not able to meet up. In fact, when you put all your expenses together, it's not able to meet your living standard. But God says, if you place me first, I become part of the 90. So that is why you can see people having little and yet they are doing well. You have all the resources, but nothing has been able to be done in your life. That shows you that there's a power, that there's a force that propels you to become better with a little. Come on, let's go into the scriptures. It looks like I'm running out of time. Is somebody here with me? Now, the first thing, there are threefold blessing that comes to us when we are obedient to God. There are threefold blessing. Number one, we couldn't finish the scripture because the 11 and 12, you'll read it as we go on. But then listen, the first one is that God renews our faith. Anytime we pay our tithe, God renews our faith. God renews our faith. Now he says that, and prove me now, herewith. Prove me now. Prove me now. Prove me now. Prove me now. In other words, do this to test me. Do this to test me. God says that, prove me. Put me to test. Put me to test. God wants us to put him to test, whether he is faithful or not. In fact, he's always faithful. But then sometimes for you to trust him more, for you to believe in him more, he wants you to also put him to test. Just as he always puts us to test, he wants you to put him to test. And that grows our faith. Our faith begins to grow. Why? Because whenever we trust him and we give our seed unto him, our tithe to him, he's able to do more. And that keeps us going. It keeps increasing our faith with him. Amen. Now Luke chapter 16 verse 10 to 11 says that he that is faithful with the least or the little is faithful in much. He that is faithful with the little or the least is also what? Faithful in much. He said that he didn't say that he that is faithful in much will be. You are already, if you are not faithful with the much, with where God has placed you, if you are not faithful with the little that God has placed you, if you are not faithful with what God has given you, the little he has given you, then he says that you cannot be faithful when he gives you the much. Most of us have messed up with the little that God gave us. Let me tell you, every seed that we have, every money that comes to us can be put in three forms. One, it can be a seed. One, it can also be a bread that you must also what, share. And then two, three, it can also be an investment that you must do with it. Is somebody here with me? But God is saying that, what have you done with the little that I gave you? Now go to the verse number 11. Now look at this. Look at this. Say that, if therefore, wow, ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. The word unrighteous mammon is money. If you are not faithful with money, 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 who will commit to your trust the true riches? Number one, riches in the kingdom are entrusted. They are not worked for. Come on, can I talk to somebody? If you want to be blessed, say that, labor not to be blessed. Labor not to be rich. That's it. Labor not to be hot, to be rich. He said, you wake up every morning, you go up and down, blah, 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 but then you eat the bread of sorrows. So labor not to be hot, rich. So in the kingdom, riches are not worked for. Riches are entrusted. God will entrust. In other words, he will make you a trustee of his own riches. Can you imagine? God can trust you to the extent that you are the one who takes control of his finances. You become the minister of finance of God. Kai. No, you don't understand. And I see God positioning somebody here. Does the minister of finance in Ghana lack money? Oh, come on. In fact, at worst, when he is struggling, he can go to the mint and then start printing new cash. Oh, you don't know? Whenever you see new notes, it means that none of them watch them. Ah, am I here with me? He can go in and print new cash. Who are you to question him? And it's an indication, sir, the guy needs what? Money. Praise God. And that is the level God wants to take us. That we will not lack money. Oh, your amen is weak. We will not be found wanting when it comes to money. Hey, it will never be your portion. Because listen, let me not use the bank managers for them. They don't have much control. But if you are minister of finance or the president, and you say you don't have money, then you don't know who you are. Amen. And God says, look, one, I want to entrust to you something more than money. But then, until your relationship with money is right, you cannot receive what I want for you. Which means that what God has for everyone is what we call true riches. Say true riches. Shout it one more time. Shout it for the last time. God wants everybody to be blessed with true riches. But the true riches will not come if our relationship with money fails. Are you here with me? Now the question is, what is true riches? The first one is love. Love. True riches of love. The second one is spirituality or spiritual power. Listen, everything we see comes from somewhere. Every physical thing emanates from the spiritual realm. You need spiritual power in order to live physically successful. Everything is being powered by something. Everything is being powered by something. Are you with me? The reason why when you on your phone and you go to WhatsApp or you go to Facebook, and the thing will be that circle. You'll be going, then quickly what comes into your mind? Let me go and check my data balance. when you check your data by 000.1, they will leave 1%. Why? You don't have data. That is why your WhatsApp is not what working. So WhatsApp is being powered by what is powering your life. You need spiritual power, energy, in order to move, in order to succeed, in order to make it. Are you with me? Now Jesus is saying that when you are faithful with the least, then you can be faithful with much. Now he went on to say this, that look, go to the, yes, he said that if you are not faithful with this unrighteous mammon, who would give to you your child the true what? The riches. And the true riches cannot be bought with money. The true riches is in the knowledge you need. It is not the money you need. Most people are in poverty because of lack of knowledge. My people perish. Listen, there is a wisdom to be blessed. Are you here with me? Job was blessed man because he had a wisdom. The Bible talks about the wisdom that sits upon his tabernacle. Wisdom. Solomon also was blessed because he carried what? Wisdom. So sometimes it is not money you need, but it is the wisdom you must carry. And this wisdom will not come to you unless you are faithful with your relationship with what? Money. Am I talking to somebody here? So he said, prove me now and all and see. Praise God. If God cannot trust us with the 10% of our income, do you think he can trust us with the many or the much blessing? In other words, if he cannot trust you of your 10 cedis, 10 cedis of every 1,000, every 100 cedis, can he trust you with 10,000? There are some of you, there are some monies we have never seen before. All because when we had the smaller one, we didn't see. So number two, I told you there are three fold blessings. The first one is that God will renew our faith. The second one, God will rebuke our foe. He will rebuke our foe. Go back to Malachi chapter number 3, verse 11. God will rebuke our foe. God will rebuke. He said that I will rebuke the devourer for your. Oh, am I talking to people here? I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. What does it mean? We all have foes. We all have enemies. And we need God to rebuke them. One of our challenges as people is the fact that we lack the strength to be able to overcome our enemies. And we always need strength from above. We always need some supernatural grace to overcome the enemies of our lives and the challenges of our lives. And we need God. And God says that when you do this, I, the Lord, will rebuke you. We have our enemies and we need God to rebuke them. Hallelujah. And you must understand that our crops will not wither in the field. That is the second thing. So God will rebuke our enemies. And he says that your crop will not wither. He said that he shall not destroy the fruit of the ground. The saddest moment of your life, having worked all night, having done everything and having seen your crops and your fruit coming, and yet you don't have the strength to go and harvest. And everything is left to rot in the field. That will not be your portion. So in this day, we could see that the people were basically farmers. And therefore, whatever God was relating with them, he was relating based on what they were doing at this time. Hallelujah. And so don't say that I'm not a farmer. I can't bring my fruits and my produce. God is talking about your income. Praise God. Now, what are some of the foes that we have? What are some of the enemies? In fact, I've come to realize that even though God, through his word, has said that our greatest enemy is the devil, the adversary. But you understand that, in fact, the last time you actually met Satan, the devil, it's a long time. Amen. In fact, Satan is not in Ghana here. Oh, it's true. Right now, I think he's somewhere in the Palestine with the Israelites, you know. He's right there. No, Satan is not here. Tell somebody Satan is not here. Did you believe that? Yes, he himself is not here. You know, he cannot be at every place. But you know, he has agents and he has ambassadors. We call them demons. They are sometimes around. And actually, he has managed to plant, demons in every home, especially every family, you know, every environment. He has them. Praise God. Are you looking at my face? Am I talking to you? Praise God. Yes. So he himself is not what? He's not here. So stop. Don't worry. But I have come to understand something this morning. That there are foes. There are enemies, which is neither Satan nor demons. Praise God. Can I tell you? They are your enemies. Number one enemy or foe is hospital bills. Oh yeah? Seriously, if you have had a situation to go to the hospital today, just for some kind of ailment, the kind of labs, the kind of drugs that you are going to buy, and all kinds of scans. Now, when you go to the hospital, they intentionally ask you, what do you do? They'll ask you your occupation. When they know you are from, you are a banker, you are that, then they know you can pay. Amen. And by the time you leave, at one visit, the amount of money you have spent. Sometimes we go back to our savings to take money to cater for medical expenses. And it's not because the sickness is gone. It's a try and error thing. So they'll come, they'll tell you that in 2 weeks time, come for what? Review. When you go to, he'll ask you to go and do the same thing again, to see whether the thing is there or not. Say the enemy of hospital bills. This one, is it Satan? I mean, you are sick. And naturally, the body can be sick. I mean, you can be sick. Tell somebody you can be sick. Praise God. And can you imagine? This is what the Lord says. That whenever you are faithful in your titan, when you connect with me and sin in your finances as well, I, the Lord, I will rebuke the devourer. The enemy for your sake. Which means that the money you would have used to pay hospital bills, God says there's no need. Are you with me? So you can imagine that the month you couldn't your tithe. It's not that God made you rich. Sorry. It's not that the month you couldn't pay your tithe, you realize that there were a whole lot of issues. One of the enemy, which is neither the devil nor demon, is car repair. Car repair. Tell somebody car repair. Oh my goodness. Tell somebody, you don't have car, that's why you have. But these days, it's not easy to do maintenance. In fact, my AC has been on and off for some time. And this hot sun. And I don't understand this issue. At a good day, it will come on. But at a bad day, it will stop coming. Especially when the sun is hot and you need it, it will not show up. I took it to these people to services for me. Then they started telling me, brigade stories. We have to change this, we have to change that, and we have to change that. And just the AC system was about 6,000. And I said, leave everything. I'm going to manage with this. In fact, I'll be praying that it will come at good times. He said, the motor is, they have to change the motor. And if we change the motor, we must change the condenser. If we change the condenser, we must change something inside. I said, do you know what you are saying? I look at the person, do you really know what you are saying? And I'm lucky this is air conditioned. Without it, the car can still move. Praise the Lord. What if the engine breaks down? Then you see your pepper. You know, those who have cars, you understand what I'm saying. I pray that you have a car. When your engine breaks down, that one, there's no negotiation. You either go ahead and buy it or you park the car somewhere. May the Lord give us the grace. And let me tell you something. God will keep even your engine running until you have enough to change. So you realize that in a month that you don't do, pay your tithe, all of this thing will start happening at the same time. Say, where from this? Where from that? Where from that? Then maybe you manage. You used all your money on you. Then the following month, you are hearing the word of God like I'm speaking to you. Said, I want to be faithful. The moment you become obedient to the word, God says, now I'm part of your finances. Which means that I'm not bringing you more money. I'm not making you richer. But what I'm doing is that I am part of it. So that hospital bill is canceled. That car maintenance bill is what? Canceled. And every other bill that drains your money is what? Canceled. That is the essence of tithing. I thought you would be clapping unto Jesus. Is somebody here with me? Some of the foe, which is not the devil, neither is it the demon, is job loss. Job loss. If you know how what it takes to lose your job and to stay at home for years and for months, then you appreciate that whenever you have something doing, you'll be faithful to God and pay what I'm telling you, I've been there before. And my greatest nightmare is to wake up Monday morning and not know where to go when everybody is going out. When you are of age, your family expects you to go and bring something home. And yet, you wake up, where are you going? Now God provides you a job. Gives you the strength to go and come. At the end of the day, you start thinking about mobile phones. Start thinking about things to make up yourself, having forgotten about him. A day is coming, you are going to lose that job. It is not God who has done it. It's not God who has actually made you lose your job. It's because he has withdrawn. God has what? Withdrawn. And when God withdraws from you, that is where you begin to see the difficulties and the struggles in your life. Don't get to the point where God withdraws from you. And many a times when things are going well, that is when we feel that we are the ones in charge. We have been doing it. We have been running the business. We have been running it. I mean, after all, we know how. You know how. Some of you know how. You know how. When things are going well, then we feel we are in charge. And we leave God. We determine when to come to church. We determine what we should give even to the church. We determine what we have to do. But when God is in charge, he tells you what to do. Is somebody here with me? Your qualification, your education shouldn't deny God's blessings over your life. The things you do should not stop you. Oh, in fact, the whole essence of our relationship with God and what God requires of us is to trust Him at all times. Take it from me. Is to do what? Anything that will come between you and Him, or anything that will shift your trust from Him, He doesn't have anything to do with that. He just wants to back off. All He wants from you is that you will trust Him more than you trust money. You will trust Him more than you trust your employer. You will trust Him more than you trust even your husband, your wife. You will trust Him more than you trust in your family. You will trust Him more than you trust your resources. In fact, God doesn't want anything to come between you and Him. Is somebody here with me? And when we do that, then He is able to commit through riches and trust us with things that we need. In conclusion, people of God, God will restore our faithfulness. The next blessing that God does is that He will restore our fruitfulness. He says, I will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. The verse number 12, push it fast. Let's go. And all nations shall call you not a country, but all nations. Why? For ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. I see you becoming a delightsome land. Which means that this does not mean that we will get rich if we start tithing, as I told you. When we tithe, we will do more with the 9/10 and God as a partner than we'll ever do with the 10/10 by ourselves. I came to let you know that tithing is a key that unlocks the windows of heaven. That unlocks the windows of heaven. Offerings are seed that bring your crop. If we sow bountifully, then we will reap bountifully. We will not outgive God, because He first gave to us. This morning, God wants you to have a good relationship with Him. He wants you to love Him more than you love money, so that He can give you more. So that He can give you more. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with the opportunity God has given you? God wants to bless you together with Jesus, everything you need and everything you desire. May the Lord bless His word and give us clearer understanding. Somebody is blessed. Be on your feet as you put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.